Hello and welcome to the Rocky Mountain Real Estate Show, powered by Pink Realty. As always, I am your host, Brad May, and we are still here in this gorgeous, beautiful state of Colorado in Colorado Springs. Today, we've got a great episode for you. We're going to talk about inspection. This is going to be an awesome episode. I love house inspections, whether it's a pre-inspection or during the buying process of the inspection. We're going to get further into that. All right, so let's get started on this. As I said, inspecting is one of my favorite things to do. We're going to bring in an inspector here. His name is Ty. He's with Aces Home Inspection, one of the newest companies out here in the Colorado Springs area. And by all means, just because he's new does not mean he doesn't know his stuff. And that's why he's on the Rocky Mountain Real Estate Show. So let's get into a few different things and talk a little bit about inspections. Let's bring in Ty now. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about what inspection is and what it is that you look for exactly.
So a home inspection is an examination of the condition of a real estate property. A qualified home inspector can access the condition of a property's roof, foundation, heating and cooling, plumbing, electrical work, water, sewage, and along with fire and safety issues.
Okay. Those are all great things to look at. Now, when you go into an inspection, are you looking at appliances and obviously plumbing? What exactly are you looking at in a plumbing?
In the plumbing, we would do sewer scopes. So, you know, we will send a camera down the lines to make sure the condition of the sewer lines are in good condition or poor condition. You know, it can vary. Probably 10% of your homes out there have issues with plumbing, so that is a very important aspect of the home inspection.
Wow, 10%, that's a high number. I didn't even know that. That's interesting. And I actually just had recently a closing with a client who was an investor. They bought the house, but they did not do the inspection when they bought the house. They go to sell it, and the buyer, who did the inspection, obviously, found that there was a hole in the sewer line going out to the street. So, and that ended up costing about $1,500 for my seller to have to drop the price of the house. So on something where it comes to being a seller, would you recommend having a pre-inspection done?
Yes, absolutely. Again, $1,500 is probably on the cheap end for a sewer scope. If you find issues in the lines, you're talking up to 20 grand sometimes. So definitely, if you're a buyer of a house and you know the sewer lines are already in great condition, that is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely something. And you said 10%, and I'm still mind blown by that whole 10% factor. Now, what about going into an attic or on a roof? What exactly do you look for in those situations?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely get up in the attics. That is 100% necessary. I mean, you could find all kind of issues. One of the bigger issues would probably be electrical, you know, exposed wiring, just things that you don't really think of. Sometimes builders like to take shortcuts up there because they don't think you're going to go up there, you know?
Wow. Exposed wires. And that can cause fires, folks. That's no joke. I have, back in Florida where I'm from, I had a property that I bought, and stupid me, I didn't do an inspection on the property. And I went to sell it a couple of years down the road, and somebody had jumped up in the attic and found exposed wires in there. Luckily, nothing had ever happened to the house, but I was told that it was pretty much near death if something would have ignited in there. And if you don't know about Florida, it's hot. It's very hot, so, and humid. So I got lucky in a few cases there. What about in Colorado here, we have crawl spaces. And what are you going in and looking for in a crawl space? Are you looking at, what kind of different things are you looking at in there?
In crawl spaces, you know, some pumps are usually located down there, so I would test the functionality of that. Also, you know, same thing, pipes, the quality of the wiring down there, insects, you know, the whole nine yards, holes in the foundation, cracks, and etc.
Foundation cracks are a big one here in Colorado. You can't build on a flat piece of land here in Colorado, so foundation cracks are a big thing to look for and look at in that situation. In your experience, how often do you encounter something in a crawl space that needs to be addressed?
You know, cracks aren't by any means major. You know, it could just be something that you see at the surface. Major structural issues, you know, not that often. It's not very common. I don't want to put a percentage on that because I don't know off the top of my head, but normally things are pretty good to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. That'd rather be good to go than bad to go, right?
Yeah. You
know? So let's talk about radon a little bit. What is radon, and what can be done to help prevent radon or to get rid of radon?
So radon here in Colorado as a whole is, you know, it's a big issue. I would 100% recommend you get that tested in any home or condo. It does not matter. Any kind of property you buy, I would recommend getting that. Now, radon is a odorless, tasteless gas that will seep through the earth and into your home, and it is cancerous causing. So to get rid of that, if the levels are high in your home, you need to install a radon mitigation system, and that will help keep those levels as low as possible.
So when it comes to radon mitigation testing, what is that level exactly that you would recommend mitigation to be done?
Anything above 4 PCI is what I would recommend getting a mitigation system installed in your home.
Wow. Okay. So pretty, what is something, a common number or even the highest number that you've ever seen?
Well, recently we had some results come back on a condo in a apartment complex, and it was 16 PCI.
Whoa, 16. I haven't even heard of something that high. Where was this condo as far as like level, if it's a condo?
It was actually on the second floor.
Wow. And I know of another home inspector who recommended to one of my clients one time to not have a radon test done because the condo that they were inquiring to buy, or they were under contract with this condo, or it was an apartment, I apologize, was on the third floor, and they recommended not to have the radon testing done. So that just goes to show you that it's not, you need to have something done. Absolutely. Regardless of, especially here in Colorado, I mean, it is the silent killer, as they call it here in Colorado. Cancer's no joke, folks. We all know that. So definitely get your radon testing done there. When you test appliances, I see this all the time, and I believe it or not, I've never asked an inspector this until just now, but I see you guys testing the appliances. What are you doing when you test the appliances?
Yeah, we're just making sure they work. You know, 9 times out of 10, appliances, or not 9 times out of 10. Normally, appliances stay with the home, so that needs to be checked. You know, it's a part of the process to make sure those are in working order before the home is sold. You know, that is, appliances are a major part of the home. They're not cheap.
That is true. That is true. I know a lot of these new builders will go and spend anywhere from, you know, $3,000 to $10,000 on appliances, depending on what package you chose. And I was just speaking to a builder the other day who, he doesn't give you an option to put appliances into your house. He just puts the top-of-the-line appliances in. So, yeah, if you're looking for some top-of-the-line appliances or the house already has it, that can be pretty expensive to replace. And I don't think anybody wants to spend $10,000 after they just bought a home. Tell me about the inspection after process. Is there warranties that come with this type of stuff? Like, let's say my roof starts leaking 3 months into me living at the house. Is there a warranty that comes with you inspecting the house or anything?
No, but what I would recommend is getting, you know, high dollar items like your roof inspected by professionals. And if it is newer, they will normally certify it as good. And, you know, that will come with maybe some kind of warranty. And also getting a home warranty of some sort, you know, just to cover you in the back end just in case something does happen.
That's actually a pretty good idea, getting a home warranty. And all home warranties require you to have an inspection done. So you've already got the inspection done. Why not have a home warranty? And I will tell you folks out there listening, I've gotten in probably 4 out of the 8 deals that I've done, I've gotten a home warranty thrown in to the closing package from the sellers to pay for that. Just tooting my own horn there. Just tooting it a little bit. So that's some good stuff there on the home warranty end of things. What do you do? Once again, never asked a home inspector this. What do you do? They plug these little things into the outlets. What is that doing, and what are you looking for in that situation?
I'm looking when I use the GCFI indicators, I'm, you know, mainly looking for improperly wired electrical outlets. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're normally pretty good. You will find some homes that are absolutely screwed up, you know, all kind of issues, but that doesn't normally, I'm checking for improperly wired outlets. You know, when they are incorrectly wired, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It normally is an easy fix. You know, sometimes it's normally just they reverse the wires or it's just not grounded and things of that nature. Normally, an electrician could fix that in a couple minutes, you know.
That's true. Electricians, but they charge so much. But you know what? When you're a buyer, you're not paying for it. And when you're a seller, this is something that you need to know ahead of time before you go to list your property. So a pre-listing inspection is something that's pretty important in that situation. I was reading an article the other day that said that on average, the home seller spends anywhere from $15,000 to $3,000 on inspection resolution repairs. So what that means is that the buyer has requested that all these, that X amount of repairs be done, or that this needs to be repaired, and that anywhere on average spend $1,500 to $3,000 on repairing those items. Or, in other words, if you want to break that down to percentages, you could possibly lose a percent in the selling of your home. I've also ran into a few key issues, not personally, but the team that I work with has run into a few issues where the homeowners did not do the pre-listing inspection and the buyer came in and the agent for the buyer said, hey, we want X amount of dollars taken off the property purchase price because all these items need to be addressed. So you could lose money even if the property's already under contract. And let's say your listing is for $200,000 and your contract's for $205,000. And the buyer gets his resolution and he gets his inspection report and he says, you know what, I've got to put $7,000 into repairing all of this stuff that came back on the inspection report. I want $7,000 off the price of the home. So now you're down to below what you originally started at. So pre-listing inspections are very important and something that I believe Ty will probably agree with me, and I believe he did earlier in the episode here, that pre-listing inspections are something that need to be done just to cover yourself as a seller.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, and Ty wanted to go back to electrical real quick. He forgot a few things that he wanted to add in, so go ahead, Ty.
Just one of the main things I forgot to touch on was the breaker box. Definitely going in there and making sure everything has been done properly. You know, there's no wires jumping or breakers that are above. Make sure that, you know, all the breakers don't have too much power running to them, and also making sure they're up to code. You know, sometimes you run into issues to where people think they could just do things without permits and they'll upgrade or whatever the case may be, their electrical, and it's not properly done.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome there. When you brought up code and not pulling permits, is that something you look at when you do an inspection?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most things you do to your home do require permits, whether it's adding a deck or, again, electrical or and et cetera. Those things do require, they're state regulated, so they need to be done correctly.
Okay. And then when, let's say you find that the deck did not have a permit to be pulled when you did the inspection, do you report that on the inspection?
Yes, absolutely. I do look up for permits on homes to make sure there were, permits on what was done, and if they, whether or not the previous homeowner got permits for what they were doing, I will include that in my report. So it would either be a negative or a positive.
Okay, good stuff there, for sure. Permits are important. All right, Ty. Well, we appreciate you coming on and giving us this boatload of information and teaching me a lot more about home inspections, actually. So let's go ahead and give the folks out here listening some contact info if they have any questions about home inspecting or would like to get a home inspection done.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Ty Bergeron. I own Aces Home Inspection. If you want to give me a call to find out any more information about myself, you can reach me at 719-733-3555. I own a website. It's aceshomeinspector.com. And I do give military discounts. I have a military background myself, so I do appreciate what our folks in uniforms are doing.
Awesome. We always, and as everybody knows, we always love the military on this show. So thank you again, Ty, for coming in, and we look forward to having you on in some future episodes as well. Thank you, Ty.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So one thing I wanted to talk about before we get going here is really about the inspection objection. So what an inspection objection is after the inspection has been done by Ty and his company or another inspector that you've hired, the inspection, then the report of itself, then comes to the agent after usually it's about a couple hours of a turnaround, maybe 24 at the max. That report comes to the agent. The agent looks it over and looks for items that mainly are of safety concern. You're going to have, remember, an inspector's job is to find problems. Sorry about that. Their job is to find problems. If they don't find problems, they're not doing their job very well, right? So you will see when you get this inspection report back from the agent or from the inspector themselves, sometimes the inspectors will send it over to the buyers or the sellers at that point and let them look it over as well. You will see there will be more than likely a lot of red areas. That red means it needs to be addressed in most inspections. Every inspection software is different, but we all know the universal code for stop is red. So that's usually what most inspectors use is red. So you'll see a lot of red in the report because they're going to mark everything, whether it's a tree limb, concrete that's cracked. It could be anything. Mainly what agents are looking for, real estate agents are going to be looking for in that inspection report is going to be safety items, such as what Ty talked about with electrical, how maybe the electrical panel has crossed wires or that electrical outlet that the GFIC has crossed wires there. They're not grounded properly. Items like that could happen. And those are really what you're looking for when you're an agent and when you're buying or selling and you want to fix those items. Now, there will be some other miscellaneous items. I had a house, for instance, that there was some tree limbs that were hanging over the roof. They weren't in much danger. But the inspector had recommended to remove the trees from near the house. So I had put in the inspection objection that we would like the trees to be trimmed back. We did get that all handled and squared away. And you're not going to always have a case like that. I've had plenty of cases where they don't do anything in a situation of an inspection objection. So now what happens after, let's say you've got all these items. Let's just say there's a number of items. Let's use a number 10. And these 10 items that you want fixed in the inspection objection, what happens is, now that you've reviewed this with your agent, if you're a buyer, that goes to the selling agent at that point. That inspection objection goes to the selling agent at that point. And then he gives it to the seller, and then him and the seller work their magic on what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And then that's really negotiations on the agent side of things where, hey, you know, that agent, that listing agent, or that selling agent, which is also considered a listing agent, might call the buyer's agent representing you as a buyer might call you and say, hey, listen, we're only going to do 5 out of the 10 items, blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that. And then that's kind of when negotiations start happening and behind the scenes type things. So you always want to make sure that your agent is keeping you updated if you are on the buyer side. If you're on the selling side, now that's up to you on the pre-listing inspection side of things. Or even if you're a seller and you're listening to this, that's up to you on what you want to do, but you also have to think that, hey, these items are going to continue to show up regardless of how many inspections are done on the property. Just because you got the inspection done does not mean the buyer has the right to not have an inspection done. If you're a seller, the buyer always has a right to do an inspection no matter what. So you have an option to fix those safety concerns or all of those items in red when you're the seller, if you wanted to. So those are a couple of things to think about. Now, what happens after the inspection objection has been submitted
And they come back and, hey, we're going to go ahead and do everything on this list. Okay, sounds great. So what happens is now everything will get fixed, but there is another form called the inspection resolution. And the inspection resolution then tells you everything that's going to be fixed and how it's going to be fixed. So there's a lot of good stuff behind the inspection. I love inspections. I think I've said that like 3 or 4 times, and I apologize. I think it's probably the funnest part of the entire real estate process. There's a lot that goes into the inspection process itself, as we learned from having Ty on. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that just speaking about it. So hopefully this helps you. I really hope that this information helps you and gets you in a bit of a better situation for yourself if you're thinking about buying or you're thinking about selling. And as always, I am available. If you have any questions at all, feel free to always hit me up. My direct email, you can email me at bradm@pinkrealty.com. Again, that's Brad M for May at pinkrealty.com. So feel free to hit me up. I'm available there. My phone's on my hand all the time. It never leaves my hand. That's weird. So, but that's going to be it for the Rocky Mountain Real Estate Show today. We really appreciate your time and hope to see you again next week. And as always, feedback is welcome. Thank you so much.